Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back. Next on VFN Radio.
And now the stats have changed so much. People say, well, the abortions are down. No. It actually, it's they have a pill now that people take that aborts the child, so they don't go in and actually have to abort. For example, 7,000 teenagers will take 7,000 teenagers will get pregnant this year, for example. And over half of them will abort that child. I'm talking about 14, 15 year old, something of that nature. And so they're actually they're issuing now the morning after pill to 14-year-old children in school.
Yeah.
And the thing is, at what point are we going to be willing to say, you know what? You know, I'll get a job and I'll raise my kids and I will have less so that I can feed my family, and I'll stay married, not because it makes me feel good, because it'd be the best thing for my family and my kids. And I'll begin to live my life for God and others and not for myself. And, and I will begin to do that. And understand this, that is such a true statement, saying that a democracy lasts up until the point that people realize that they can vote themselves wealth from the nation's treasury. And that's what you're seeing right now. When you talk about, you know, the government taking care of everything. Well, that's actually taxes paid in from the people. And they're saying, I can actually take people's things by voting a certain way and getting a certain people in there. And you can't turn that back outside of God.
Right.
I mean, you can't come up with a good idea and say, hey, listen, we need to, you know, people's, you know, the natural tendency of flesh and the sinful nature is just more. And,
right.
But God's people, you know, that we are supposed to, you know, deny ourselves, pick up a cross and follow the Lord and lay down our life for our brothers and family will begin again when the church starts being family.
Right.
You know, and once I get this word verified again, you know, verified that I was talking about in the first hour, you know, the church is supposed to be the example of family. How are people going to know how, you know, if you don't talk English to your children or whatever language you speak, your children will never speak any language, because you're going to be the one that teaches them how to talk. And then you can't imprison your children, because there's a law now, because you don't speak our language, because they don't speak it. They do this. But the whole thing is, not the language aspect of it, but because you didn't teach me how to be family, now I go to jail for not being family, but you never taught me how to be family. That, you know, at some point, somebody has to be an example and say, this is family.
Right.
You know, and we have a Father God, elder brother Jesus Christ, and we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, mothers and fathers in the Lord. And we don't learn how to be family by looking at each other's dysfunctional relationships. We go and look at what God is doing in the family of God and begin to say, you know what, that's a brother in the Lord. That's a father in the Lord. That's a mother in the Lord. And though we have biological blood families, you know, that we have to turn to God's family to understand how our blood family needs to be. And then our blood family may never be that way, but we ourselves can relate and connect to a part of God's family and be a part of a healthy family. Listen, we've got to turn our hearts back to the spiritual children and the spiritual children to the spiritual fathers. We've got to capture family again.
Yeah.
The fabric of our society is being destroyed, and it's been systematic. You know, we talked about the Communist Manifesto that was spoken of, and one of their strategies and plans has succeeded, which was to break down and destroy what a family looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are at this present point, and it's like, but you know what? The church has no excuse to blame anything on the world.
Right.
You know, God tells us what marriage is supposed to look like. He tells us what family is supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us, you know, what finance and business is supposed to look like. And he says, when you do this, I'll take care of you. And it's like, you know, how long do we have to go? How much do we have to suffer? And are we really going to blow this thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, how desperate, you know, until we get desperate, until you get desperate. I've seen so many people that have forsaken their own walk with God by just what biological family. And it's like, dude, they're not even honoring God. They're not even living for God. You know what I'm saying? They're not even honoring God's word. And how are you being manipulated, controlled, and swung in all these different directions? You know, our allegiance is to Jesus and Jesus alone.
Yeah.
God's word is going to tell us how we need to live. And you know what? Even Jesus said, you know, who's my mother? Who's my father? Those that do the will of the Father.
And he left Mary and his brother outside when he was
outside
in the house.
Outside.
Yeah. And so, and he says, you know, if you love your biological family more than you love God, and he's not, you know, if you don't understand what love is to God, love to God is not going, I love you, God. I love you, God. Love to God is not singing God a song. Mm-hmm. Love to God is obedience.
Yep.
And you know this because if you're a parent and your child willingly obeys you, your heart just melts.
Mm-hmm.
And when they walk in disobedience to you, then your heart breaks. So you know you're made in the image and likeness of God. So the truth is, you know, quit telling God you love him and start showing him by walking in obedience, and you're going to find something different. But understand this, when he says, you know, if you love your mother or father or brother or sister more than me, and what he's saying is if you obey them over me, if your biological relative says right and God says left, mm-hmm. Now you're caught between a love tug. You know, which way are you going to go? Are you going to, this is your measurement. Are you going to love God? Or are you going to love your wife? Or are you going to love your husband? Or are you going to love your daughter or your son or your mother or your father who said right when God said left?
Mm-hmm.
So it boils down to that.
Right.
You know, and there was a day, and there's a day now in the world, and the chance we may see it really again soon. The second you become a believer, you know, a follower of Jesus Christ, you're an outcast, which probably could be the best thing that could happen to the church.
Yeah.
Right.
They're no longer confused anymore. Well, I guess since they threw me in the street, I'm not, you know, and then the church would start being, you know, the church. But our loyalty has to be to God. And understand this, if we love our family, then we would witness to them. We don't witness to them because, hey, we got to witness to people. Because you love them and you want them to follow God, because you know if they back you in a corner and they tell you, you know, either follow me, I don't care what God tells you to do, then you're going to have to not tell them, listen, you shouldn't have put me in that place because I got to follow God.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get to that point. We got to get to that point again. And the whole thing, if we train our children and our family in the way that we should go, then no matter the people's direction and decisions, that everybody understands. Everybody understands that everybody's making their own choices and people's choices are being honored and we're moving on, but they also know that you're going to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that gives them an idea, some sort of grid in their life that if, in fact, they come to a place of repentance, they know where to find you. You'll be at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll be walking in the grace of God and doing your best to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and actually, even yesterday, that you're speaking of this reminds me that during a worship time, God showed me, I basically had a vision. It was during a particular song called My Soul Longs for You.
Oh, wow.
And what I saw was that, like, an army that was marching, but they were marching through this, like, muddy field. And it was like, and what that meant to me was that, you know, the world was, you know, all the world's coming in, everything's coming in to attack you, but the only way that they could keep going was that they were crying out to God, my soul longs for you.
Awesome.
You know, in your souls, your mind, your will and emotion, just
yeah.
your whole being, everything inside of you is crying out for God.
Yeah.
That's the only way we're going to be able to keep going and moving right. on is that we're crying out for God. We become desperate for him, so desperate for him that nothing that nothing stops us.
Yeah.
And it was just such a powerful moment, you know.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And the thing is, it's not like this is how our survival plan, it's what you're designed for.
That's
when
it.
You cry out to God, it's like crying out, it's like a bride crying out for the bridegroom. You want the bride wants the bridegroom to come. You want to spend time together. It's not like something, it's like religious something. And it literally is getting miry and muddy, and it's like walking against a current in a river. I don't know if you've ever tried to walk against a current in a river. But, you know, that God can part these situations if we're marching and walking in that mindset. Mm-hmm, I mean, and you can. It's not, it's just, God's people, you win. You know, you win. Read the end. You win. But are we going to be faithful in our season, in our generation? And first of all, we win if you're in. And if you've been listening to an American gospel and America's at this point, that's a huge clue to check yourself to see if you're in the faith or if you're in religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because over and over again, we hear people when they encounter God in the voice of God and start abiding with him, they say things like, you know, I thought I was saved, but I don't know what, I know this is God. They're trying to figure out what that was prior to where they are and knowing that, and you just know, it's not a mystery. You don't have to ask somebody if you are saved, you know it. You just, you know it. Your spirit bears witness with his spirit that you're a son or a daughter of God. And you just know that. And because he's real. We'll be right back after this break. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You are disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe that, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate. You know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on BFN TV maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits. And these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today, and everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ, because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name. And it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go, and there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me. So I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back and then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings and dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And I just want to encourage you, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. Begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, and who that would be, and let God lead you. Isn't that so cool?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can come to VFN Radio and hear us talk about God.
Awesome.
Isn't that cool?
It's very cool.
And to be authentic about it, it's like, hey, God is good.
Mm-hmm.
We are not. We need God to be good. And He's more than happy to oblige us when we lay our lives down at the foot of the cross. We make Jesus the Lord, the governor, the ruler, the King who sits on the throne of our hearts, the Lord of our life, and somehow, mysteriously, the goodness of God begins to come out of our life.
Amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Amazing.
Very good. Now
I want to talk to those that are listening right now that you've tried to be good. You may have convinced people that you're good, but you are just disgusted with yourself, aren't you? I mean, think about it. What a terrible, terrible thing to be convinced. The enemy may have tried to convince you. You told everybody, you said, listen, I'm going to be good. I will exalt my throne. No, I will be good. Right?
That's right.
And then if it's not publicly, because maybe you were able to restrain yourself, you were faced with yourself when you were alone. And you struggling inside going, I want to do good. I really do. I mean, I got good intentions. I listened to VFN Radio last week. I read like 5 of those awesome articles on and listened to those segments on the VFN Torch. I mean, I even told my family, I said, listen, I'm going to follow God. And you made all these great plans. And it was like 1 week later, your two-year-old comes in and prophesies to you. Daddy, Daddy, didn't you say you was going to... You know, and then you hang your head in shame. You know why? Because you tried to do what God can only do through you.
That's right.
That's the good news. This is the good news. I got good news for you this morning. I got really, 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 really good news. God already knew you weren't good. and he knows that Pat's not good.
Right.
Now John, you know, he walks on top of the Potomac. You know, he went down to visit.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Don't you say it was like a Potomac? I was there experiencing where Tommy signed the Constitution. I thought, I've never heard Thomas Jefferson call Tommy. I love that. It was so beautiful.
Tommy, did I say Tommy?
Oh, you said Tommy, yeah. He said Tom, oh, wow. Tommy. I'm like, oh my goodness. It was good. I loved it. It was pretty good. It's pretty good. And so, you know, that This is what the gospel is called, the good news. We're preaching the word good news instead of the good news. The good news is the kingdom of God is that you can have access into the king's dominion and the king in your life, and that you begin to seek his kingdom, and then Jesus in you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the entrustment that you have in the finished work on the cross of the Christ, he empowers you to do things you couldn't do before.
Mm.
And you have to, at the end of the day, you got to go. Some people say, well, I'm amazed at what you're doing for God. And you can honestly say, honey.
We are too.
Honey, sir, you think you're amazed.
Right.
I mean, do you know, Pat, what happened? I mean, do you know? Do you understand? And then so the biggest dilemma that you can have in your life is falling to good works where you think, that you've got to be good. Versus knowing that God is good, that you goodness will come out of your life. I mean, you will walk in a way that people will look at you and they'll begin to project upon you, going like, "Dude, how did that miracle take place when you prayed for somebody? You know, how did you know what was going on in my heart? I mean, how did you share that abiding experience, that message, that teaching? That how did you know how to do a business plan like that? How did you know?" Mm-hmm. And this is where the rubber hits the road. Saul didn't get this. King Saul didn't get it, but David got it because David busted his butt. He worked hard. He fought battles. He was physically involved in the process of doing what God called him to do, but he knew because he inquired, he abided with the Lord first. He knew who gave him the victories.
That's right.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people who struggle with works, they go, I refuse to give up the credit for the sweat that I put into this.
Mm.
And it's like, dude, you know, sweating in hell is going to be a lot worse than that. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Listen, it's okay to let goodness come out of your life. And that's what God, that's why he says, go around, let your good deeds be known amongst men so that God, his name is praised. And so when they stopped Jesus, John Paul, listen to me. Man, I just love the way your head's shining this morning. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's got that those lights on and everything. And I'm fixing my hair. Okay, got it. Listen.
fix it now.
Jesus is walking. You got to understand, first of all, they're saying a lot of things about Jesus, who he is. And even Jesus said, hey, who are they talking about? Who are they saying I am, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you want to find out who they think you are, Google yourself.
Yeah, right.
You'd find all kinds of things who they say Jesus is, wouldn't you? If you Google Jesus today, there'd be all kinds of, you know, and that's what, and the most important thing about you is who you think Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's eternal consequences or eternal benefits,
right?
You know, so it matters what you think. But so here's God in the flesh, Emmanuel. I mean, born, his father is God. His mother is Mary, a young girl who encountered an angel who told her, you're going to have a son and his name is going to be Jesus. And she pondered that in her heart, wisdom. Mm. If you go share it with your brothers, they may pound you in a hole. Ponder it in a heart, as Joseph. They may pound you in a pit, right?
Yeah.
How'd you get here? I shared what Jesus shared to me. I thought they would celebrate. Anyway, so then I thought we were in this for Jesus, you know what I'm saying? And aren't we on the same team? No. And so this. So
apparently not.
So then God's spirit... You got to understand this. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The flesh counts for nothing. Jesus was with God before the beginning of time, but now Jesus was going to come and be born like we're born and walk as a man as we walk. And so he had to be born of a woman. And so to be able to be born of a woman, he still had to have the blood of his father. So God, now listen to this. This is why people who deny the Trinity just totally, you know, you'll lose your mind trying to explain the Trinity, but you'll lose your salvation by denying it. Pay attention to me. Listen up. Mm. And so that's a quote by Mike Bickle. Very good. With that, the God, a separate, you know, part of the Trinity, you know, hovers, his spirit hovers over Mary. Mm. And the seed of God is placed in the womb of woman. Mm. So you got all this godness, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. At the same time, all this manness.
Right.
We know about the manness part really good, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't do that, God. Oh, my goodness. you know, oh, my goodness. This is tough. And so then Mary, you know, gives birth to Emmanuel, which is God with us. Mm-hmm. Mm. So he's all God and all. I'm talking about the good news here. Listen, you got to stop this saying you're good. I mean, now because the whole God's going to use the world to tell you you're not good. So if you just get it out there now, you know, tell all your friends and your family and tell everybody you know, have I told you how horrific I am? Have I told you that I am a dirtbag? Have I told you that I couldn't even tie my shoes if God wouldn't touch me?
Right.
And everything you gave me credit for, you need to credit that to God, because God's all surpassing power is in this jar of clay to show that it's him and it's not me. I'm sorry for taking credit and writing books to tell you how I did what only God did.
Mm. Mm.
This is good news. I'm telling you, this is, listen, we're fixing to get into a battle for the souls of men, and a byproduct of that, if men repent, we may have a nation called America in the byproduct at the end of this.
Right.
But if we throw our chest out and saying, who are you to come against? You know, we start pointing out, you know, one sin as if which sin sends you to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so and so I'm talking about the good news. And so this is, he's all God and all man. And so he was tempted just like we were, because he's got the man part of him. But mm-hmm. he's also got the God part of him. And so, but yet Jesus chose not to exercise any part of that. How quick are people to jump on their own strengths instead of just embracing weakness?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People that get real defensive. You ever seen people that's real defensive?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Where they defend themselves all the time. You ever seen this? Matt, you ever seen this? People like
a couple times.
It's just like, really? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you thought you were good. If you're finding out when people defend themselves quickly, is they really were walking in what they thought was good. You know? And so they have to defend it, because if they're convinced that they aren't good, they feel very bad about themselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, no, I thought you were bad all along. We're talking about God. And so here he is, all God and all man. I mean, you're listening to VFN Radio, so I can encourage you this morning. Mm-hmm. You are horrific. If you looked in the mirror this morning, you were wondering if you were good or not. Let me encourage you. No. I don't care how many chapters you read in your Bible this morning. I don't care how many. Believe me, I don't care how many songs you've sung. Mm. You know, I don't care, you know, how many talents that you've used and have, and how many mysteries you unfounded with all of your the giftings that God's given you. And I don't care if you said, Lord, Lord, and you said some prayer. Let me tell you something. Mm. Don't hang up yet. Listen up. don't turn off VFN radio. Yeah, I got good news.
I'm talking
about good news. This is good news. I mean, you got to give up your goodness for God's. Mm. First of all, all of our goodness is filthy rags.
That's right.
That's right.
So you're only giving up filthy rags, so don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the good news. The good news is this, this is awesomeness of God. I mean, he's mm-hmm. awesome. You got to understand, there's nobody like him. That's right. He's walking in his ministry. He's already, you know, he's 30 years old, and all of a sudden, you know, the Father says, now's the time, you know, and Mary just, you know, says, you know, go make some wine. You know, and it was like, woman, this is not my time yet, but he listened to her. Don't be calling your brother. And so then, you know, and he went and made the wine.
Mm-hmm.
He made some really good wine.
Yeah.
For all the religious folk out there.
Right.
He made the best wine. So the wine was so good that they had all this other wine they drank all day long. By the time they got to that wine, the king's like, You gave me all that stuff to drink, and you bring this stuff out at the end. Who saves the best wine for last? God does. It's the good news. It's the wine right. of the Holy Spirit. And so here's Jesus, man. He's healing people, and people are being delivered, and people, I mean, towns are rocking. The Pharisees are trying to plot and plan. How can we just take down that voice? How can we stop what he's doing? You can't, and they were right. They said, if you fight, the wisdom was this, if you fight against them and it's God, you're going to find yourself fighting against God.
That's right.
And if it's of man, it'll stop.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold on. We will see which one it is. And so then, think about it. So here he is walking, doing his ministry. And all of a sudden, this rich young ruler comes up to him, religious rich young ruler. Mm-hmm. You know, quite often, you know, I've noticed, I can only tell from my own personal experience and the experience of everybody else that noticed, that in the American church, that quite often, if you are the wealthiest one there, for some reason, you got a close relationship with whoever's leading that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
You know, and if you are not that wealthy, like most of us, you know, you know that you're not that close. And, and Jesus said, "You don't do that. Mm-mm. Don't do that." Anyway, so here he is walking. This rich young ruler comes running up to him. I mean, you can imagine it right now. Imagine Jesus is walking down your street. Thank you, Lord. We just believe that you're going to begin to walk the streets of America again. Mm-hmm. And he's walking down your street. And all of a sudden, this guy, you know, pulls up in his Rolls Royce or his, I don't know, what's a car? A Yugo. No, what is the car that they, what's the
Mercedes,
car?
Mercedes, BMW.
BMW. Which one? Is it BMW? What you got? Anyway, so the.
No.
It's a BM gone. Anyway, so. BM going slow. Anyway, so the, with that, imagine, you got to see this because so often people just put things in black and white in their head. And they put, you know, like, he pulled up on his camel, you know, and they just can't.
Right.
So he pulls up in his BMW. He comes out with his Oakleys on. You know, he's got his, you know, three-piece suit or, you know, whatever it is. You know, he's got his gold chains hanging, maybe his gold watch, his Rolex. I don't know if those are good anymore. New York, you can get them 15 cents. Anyway, so.
Chinatown, baby.
Chinatown. You're right.
All day long.
Man, yeah. But if you need some, we got it for you. But no. And so then, you know, he pulls up and he's been very religious. And that's why, you know, America is very religious.
Yeah.
And he's just been very religious. And let me tell you something. This is a crying shame. If you've been very religious and not relational with God, I mean, it's all in vain.
Yeah, sure.
It's all in vain. Think about it. I mean, it's all in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that horrific?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're doing all these religious works and it ends up in hell.
Mm.
Hey, that's some stuff.
Yeah.
That's you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dag. Anyway, so here he is, and he pulls up in his BMW. We're just kind of giving you a scenario of what it would have been in that day. Pulls up in his BMW. He jumps out. His Rolex comes in. He has to latch his Rolex because he got out in a hurry right here. You know, of course, his doors close automatically. Seatbelts go back into place. His steering wheel drops back down again, and his iPod stays in the car. And so then he runs up to Jesus, and he goes, hey, because he heard Jesus was in town. He knew that he was doing God things, good things.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually doing good things. And then, so he yells at him because he's seeing him go, and he says, good teacher.
Mm.
He says, good teacher.
Mm.
I mean, if anybody can say they're good, if a man is good.
Right.
If anybody can say they're good, think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
If anybody can say they're good.
Right.
It would be Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But listen what he said. Listen to what Jesus said. You got to get this. Oh, my goodness. This is going to free you up. It's going to free you up. And if you haven't yet, you got to go to VFN TV and you got to listen or watch this teaching. This is what he said. Jesus said this.
Mm-hmm.
His Father is God. His sin is zero. His works are beautiful. His love is overflowing. The glory he's given the Father is unsurmountable. He's all God and all man. And he goes this. He says this. Get this, John. You got to get this.
Mm.
Listen, if we don't get this, you might as well kiss America goodbye.
Mm.
Mm. You know, we might as well just pack up and go to where 25% of the population is saved, which is over the population of America and India.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. We're Christian brothers over there. 25%.
Wow.
They're saying now. Konnichiwa. We go to China or Japan. So then, good teacher. And he's calling Jesus good. And Jesus turns around and he says, who are you calling good? Listen, you are broke, busted, and disgusted. You are at the end of your religious road. Not only are you tired of you, they're tired of you. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to realize that God did not call you to what was begun in the spirit to finish it up by doing good works. It was for you to go after him and allow him to empower you to lead you to tell you what to do, not for you to do something and ask God to bless what you're doing. That's your good works. But if you do what he's doing, his goodness is coming out of you. Jesus said, who are you calling good? The only one is good is God.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Wow.
Right? Think of it. It's beautiful. It's like, oh my goodness, I get it. Pat's not good. Quit expecting Pat to be good. Tell him to go pray more so the goodness of God will come out more.
That's right.
Right? I
need to buy more.
If you're having issues, I was of course joking, he's perfect. But if you're having issues with somebody in your church gathering or in your family that's a believer, you can't sit there and demand of them, you know, be better, be good. You're gonna have to say, spend time with God. You need Jesus, man. You need more of Jesus. Because God's goodness will come out of your life and empower you to stop this behavior, what's going on right there. And so he said, who are you calling good? And so it immediately, okay, it diverts to this. And then the rich young ruler asks this question as he begins to look over, because he goes right to his good works. You know, and he says, what must I do to enter into your kingdom? What must I do to be saved? And he said, and he listed off what those were, you know, don't commit adultery, don't murder. And he listed a few, you know, the commandments. And then the rich young ruler said, I've do all this. You know, I've done all this. I've done this. He's leaning against his BMW.
Yeah.
Looking at his watch, hoping that the message don't last longer than 15 minutes.
Right.
Because he's got a ball game coming on.
Right.
And so Jesus said, oh, I'm sorry, one more thing. And he leans forward and probably, you know, I mean, that kind of spirit, he's probably leaning forward with like, yeah, go ahead. What?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. What do
you
got?
I can tell, I already know I'm going to say yes to it because sure. I'm a doer. I'm a doer. I'm not a hearer doer, I'm a doer. And he says, oh, go sell all your possessions and give them to the poor. This doesn't mean for everybody to do what was his assignment, but Jesus knew what was up.
Right.
Because he wasn't trusting in God. He was trusting in his own good works. He was trusting in his ability to sustain himself. He was trusting in his ability and his own wealth. And America's about to be tested. You're about to be tested, America. That are you the rich young ruler? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you trusting in your wealth that will fall in the day? Are you trusting in your God who stands forever? You know, the rich young ruler called America is about to be tested. I encourage you now to be into a Bible. But listen to this. This is what the rich young ruler did. He walked away sad because he had many things. He was trusting in his good works.
All right.
He was trusting, and listen, you know, you may have a lot of stuff and things and, you know, position and power and all that, but if you trust in that, you know, you're going to walk away from God.
Yeah.
He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
That's right.
And it's not a sewing needle. There's a gate called a needle in Jerusalem that you had to pass through turning sideways. So the enemy couldn't do a charge into the city. If they did, they did it, you know, sideways one at a time. you could poke them with your spear, like, kill them, they're coming to there. And
you get down low.
And he says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. This is really, you know, should put the fear of God in America. Because, you know, if it takes us getting rid of our wealth to enter into the kingdom,
my goodness.
You know what I'm saying?
Let it all go.
We get paid 360% more than 52% of the world's poverty, and we demand more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We're like the rich young ruler, right?
That's right.
And the postings on Facebook is like, ew, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. He's like, oh, my goodness. Listen, 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 I can't do that, I can't do that. And so then, so the Jesus gave us the secret. This is the good news. I want to tell you the good news. This is the good news. You are horrific. You are a basket case. You have issues, lots of issues. You make good plans and they fail. You know, you set a goal of 10 and you hit 7. But let me tell you this, God's in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you. I mean, think about it. You see, if you're thinking you're trying to get good enough to love God to love you, you're already on the wrong road. You're on the rich young ruler's road. He walked away from God because he trusted in his goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Jesus didn't trust him. He says, the only good in me is God. Listen, the good Christians, people that Christ followers, what that means, it's not like a logo or nothing. It's like it's Christ in you, Christ followers. You're following the ways of God and the commandments of Jesus. And so understand that the good news is this, that he's in love with you. He's in right now in your basket caseness. You know what I'm saying? In, you know, dripping with the sins, like the woman caught in adultery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, with your 13-foot Pharisee hat, you know, sticking up on your head, and your 45 books talking about why you did. And I'm not against books. I got a good friend's book that I read them. Mm-hmm. I've read one anyway. And so, you know, in that, listen, is that he's madly in love with you.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand that he loves you now and you try to do something to get his love, you've already entered on the wrong pathway. And he's saying, how in the world, what began in the spirit, you foolish Galatians, he says, how in the world, what's begun in the spirit, are you now trying to fulfill it in the flesh? How insulting is that of my love for you?
Yeah.
It's not that you're not going to, that my goodness is not going to come out of you. He's not saying that. He's not going to say that you won't, you might, you know, you might walk on water. You might fill stadiums for God. You might, you know, pastor a church. You might, you know, lead multitudes. So that's not, but he'll do that through you. What he's saying, how insulting is that? You know, you're lessening my love for you.
Mm.
You're lessening my love for you. You're making, I mean, I loved you while you were yet a sinner in the midst of all your stuff, when all the religious people threw you in the streets and they were about ready to stone you and tell you how horrific you were.
Mm.
And they were right. They just didn't know they were too.
Yeah.
And with that, when I began to talk to them and remind them, hey, you are her outside of me, you know, you begin to say, he that is without sin cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it was interesting is the older people dropped their stones first.
Mm.
And the young ones like, come on, come on. It's like, dude, you know, you need a spiritual father or mother to tell you.
Yeah, right.
just drop the stone and I'll explain it in 5 years. You don't want to do that. It's not going to be good.
Exactly.
And so the older ones dropped their stones first, because the longer you live, you realize this truth. You realize that how amazing God's love is for you. And for mankind. And so then they all walk away because they were going to stone her because she was caught in adultery. And she's naked in the streets, totally ashamed. Everything's out there. You know what I'm saying? It's like caught dead to rights. Here I am.
Mm.
I mean, think how horrific is that? I mean, that's the closest you can get to being broadcasted around the world, which can happen today. And Jesus looks at her and loves her.
Mm.
And all of her stuff, and even love the religious folk who were trying to use the word of God to hurt people, you know, that and to entrap Jesus. And he loved her. Love came out of it. He loved in the midst of that. And we've all been in that place where you think, there's no way that, how could God love me? Look how bad I am. It's like, dude, you were bad before you thought you were bad. That's the whole thing. When Adam fell, we all fell. We were a basket case. I'm telling you the good news is the good news. You got to quit trying to be good and go after God and let him be good in you. And then your works will be known amongst men and he'll get praise and you'll just get out of the way. Like John was saying yesterday on VFN Radio, he said, you know, the moon has no light in itself. It only reflects the sun. That is a message to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's his light shining out of us. And so this is it. He, in the midst of all her sin and all of her, I don't know, I think about all the technical sin that you can do, all the imagery and all the media and all the religion, mm-hmm. the horrific, horrific religion and the robbery of the body of Christ to be able to fulfill one man or one woman's desire for personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But in the midst of all that, he says, I love you. And then he says, where are your condemners? You know why he said that? This is why he said that. He says, because every man's righteousness is all filthy rags. There's nobody that's good.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's nobody that's good. And she looks around. Can you imagine how you feel? You know, it's like you imagine that.
I don't have to imagine too much. I know exactly what she's feeling like.
I mean, this is good news. This is not good news, John.
This is great news.
Oh, my goodness,
this is great news,
go ahead.
This is what causes you just to fall in love with God more and more. She said, why do you love him so much? Don't you understand? Don't you get the picture of where he rescued me from? Don't you know who I am without him? And it's like, it's that love. It's that amazing compassion. It's that love of Jesus that says, hey, it ain't over, right?
That's right.
Till it's over. That he's going to redeem everything that went wrong. He's going to bring it back for his purposes. And you know what? All of us, we don't have to put off that we're something that we're not, that we're good. He loves us for who we are.
John, you are horrific. Did I tell you today? You were just horrific.
Hey,
did I tell you
I
that?
I agree with you.
I tell you that, and you're not that tall. Oh, man, where did that come from? Oh, my
goodness. I'm bad right now.
I have a friend of mine, you know, he's challenged in the height area, and he looks at tall people who say stuff like that, and he says, what did you do? What did you do to get tall? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Shut up. Listen. So this is the good news.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get this because you are a basket case and you're not doing nobody no good when mm-hmm. you're trying to be good instead of letting God's goodness come through you. And if you were trying to be good, you don't have time to abide with Jesus. And if you don't have time to abide with Jesus, that ain't his goodness coming out of you.
Mm-mm.
That's your works. And when you understand this, you don't have to be say, hey, you need to go spend time with God. You're like, you run to spend time with God. As a matter of fact, it's like, hey, I got a vacation. What are you going to do on vacation? I'm going to spend time with God.
Yeah.
And you're not spending time with God so that you can, you know, wax some nice scriptures over and stuff, you know, and gather information. I'm spending time with God because I need God to speak to me about me.
Right.
Not about, you know, someone else. You know what I'm saying?
And knowing that he loves us, you're ready. Even if it's correction, you know. And so the good news is this, is that you're not good, but God is good. Mm-hmm. In the midst of why she's sitting there and all of dripping with all of her sins, you know, and of course there was a man somewhere in this thing, but he was making an example of this one situation that God loves us. And so with that, she looks around and he says, you know, where are your accusers? Where mm-hmm. are all those preacher men who said that they were, you know, people who did good works themselves and God didn't do it. You need to be like me. If you be like me, he's like, oh my goodness. As everybody cringes.
You didn't get my book, did you?
You didn't get my book. Yeah. Read my book, page 12. Page 12. I was like, yeah, I read that.
The key to goodness.
Yeah. Got a new prophet came in town. I'm talking about Joseph. You know, Joseph. I'm talking about, I'm four prophets and God's prophets. And so, not Jezebel's prophets.
Exactly.
And she has many. Anyway, so here's the good news. The good news is this. Remember, I started talking to you about this, that you are broke, busted, and disgusted. You are miserable. You are filled with so much self-hate and doubt, and the enemy's turned you into a black hole of self-observation. You have like this space shuttle, a telescope pointed at yourself, and you're looking at it. And the more you look at you, the more disgusting it gets. You know why? Because you weren't supposed to be looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to look at works. You begin to look at yourself. You know, we're supposed to deny ourselves, pick up a cross and follow Jesus. That's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing because Jesus loves you. That's the good news. And as we do that, he empowers us to begin to walk this out. Listen, Jesus said, who are you calling good? The only one good is God. And so, but even though it was God's goodness, God was working through Jesus under the power of the Holy Spirit. And God would say, heal this one. You know, deliver that one, set this one free, raise that one from the dead. And these powerful things and wonders and miracles And people were even literally like freeze framing, you know, you're like freeze. And he walked through the crowds that were trying to push him over the side. And I mean, just powerful things were happening. Angels ascending and descending, meeting with Moses and Elijah on the Mount Transfiguration. I mean, the powerful things were going on, but yet it wasn't his goodness. It was God's goodness in him, because he did not use the God part of the goodness of him. He let God lead him and let the goodness be God. So God got all the glory. He was glory. He was making the Father known. He wasn't making himself known. Mm-hmm. He was making the Father known. Are you making yourself known? Isn't it miserable if you're doing that? Let me tell you this. And this is what he said. This is what he said. This is what he said. He said, as I was sent in the world, now I'm going to send you. As the Father sent me, and I glorified the Father, now you go, just like I went. And he says, and greater things will you do than I did. That's not right. Because you're good now, because God is good.
That's right.
And Jesus is interceding for you, and they're in love with you. Mm. And if you'll surrender to this truth and grab it by faith and begin to just deny yourself and dive into your abiding relationship, go to iabide.org. Get a plan. Get a plan. Start it. Spend 6 weeks. God, I want this revelation. I want to know your goodness and your love for me. How can I let other people, you know, think about it. You're telling people about Jesus, but they don't want this Jesus you're telling them about, because it's actually, they're looking at you. But when you talk about God, and they know the goodness of God, and you give all the glory to God, they'll understand.
That's right.
But if they look at you and think, I can't be as good as you, and you say nothing, you say nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You should go, yeah, God is awesome. And, you know, he puts his treasure in all surpassing in jars of clay to show that it's him and not us. And so with that, he gets glory. And there's just greater things. Your ministry can be greater than that of Jesus Christ if, in fact, you die to yourself.
Right.
You abide with Jesus. And then the fruit that can only come from abiding with him, because apart from abiding in him, you can't do what I'm even talking about. You can't let God's goodness come through your life. And you could be the next Billy Graham. Who is his words in his interview this week was, I wish there would have been less of me and more of him. Smith Wigglesworth, I wish there would have been less of me and more of him. And I was talking to Brother Ken last night. Maybe I'll talk about it a little bit later on. You know, every one of us, you know, it's just, it's not about us. It's about him. And it's actually a good thing. So let me encourage you this morning. This is the good news. This is the good news.
Come on.
You are not good, but God is in love with you. He thinks about you. He's leaning forward to see, and he designed your very place that you would live. And he allowed you to live where you're living and in these circumstances in your life to do one thing. Would you reach out to him and acknowledge this reality and begin a relationship with him? Begin to stroll with him on a daily basis so that you would know, so that you would know his goodness and his love for you. And then you tell the world about how awesome he is.
Wow.
Listen, the good news is the only one as good as God. But if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will come live in you. What is that? Goodness. Lives inside of you.
That's right.
Think about it. God in you, the hope of glory. Wow. Isn't that not beautiful?
Yeah.
So I don't know who cut you off. You know, I don't know who, you know, you were running a good race. You were so in love with Jesus. And then somebody sat you down and said, you know, now you got to be good. And that went straight, your face went straight in the dirt like that woman caught in adultery. Because God's not going to let you succeed at that, by the way. If you hadn't noticed that, I'm just talking from John's personal experience. No, I'm talking from all of our personal experiences, right?
That's right.
That it's like, oh, yeah, I remember now. For by grace are we saved.
That's right.
Not by that. And so I want to encourage you, get this revelation. You can go to VFNTV.com and watch or listen to on VFNTV. You know, who are you calling good? Get this down inside of you, because we got to fight a war, and God's going to be the one that fights this war through us for his glory to win people who he's madly in love with, who may be in deep adultery right now, deep sexual sin, deep pride and religious whatever is going on. And he loves them, and he would that not one man would die, but he needs you to get back to the reality that you are not good, but he is. And you can abide with him, and his goodness will come out of your life. And when you're in tune with that, you have no problem going, isn't God good?
That's right.
Isn't he good? If you haven't, if you don't know Jesus yet, if you haven't made him the Lord of your life, listen, you got to do this. We shared a couple of our stories, at meetmyfather.org. You just gotta meet him. He's awesome. There's none like him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to share with you business wisdom, relationship wisdom. You know, he designed all this so he can tell you how to survive what the world is trying to figure out. He already knows you before you began, and he knows what you need to do. And it's just, he's in love with you. You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.